This is KPCRadio.com's leading automotive talk show, DIY Garage. I'm your host, Victor Chavez. Main goal of this show is to expand our community's knowledge on the subject matter of the automobile, essentially to show the masses that the way of the do-it-yourselfer when it comes to automotive maintenance is not by a long shot impossible.
Not at all.
It would mean the world to me if you, the listener, take the advice given today and use it to your advantage. Today we have a very special subject that's really close to my heart. It's the subject of brakes, stopping power for your vehicle.
Close to your heart, dude. It's close to my heart.
Close to your heart.
My brakes yesterday just broke. By the way, my name is Eric Annapol. I'm the communication director of KPCRadio.com.
Special guest as well, right?
Yeah, special guest as well. My brakes cut out. Not really cut out, but you know, the brake pads already are just completely gone, and I had a very troublesome time on the freeway the other day.
So you're pretty much running on metal to metal. That's the way you're stopping right now.
Yeah.
Does it feel that way? Does it sound that way?
Can you? It sounds so. It's like whenever you take a whenever you press the brake, it just goes, and then you get that little feeling of your nail scratching on the board. And then you go, yeah, whatever. I'll do whatever what every single guy in the whole wide world does and go,
forget about it.
Ah, it'll go away. It's just the weather. It's just the weather.
Oh, yeah, just the weather. I think that's the whole explanation. All right, we're done here for a KPC. No, no.
It's just the weather.
Brakes are one of the most important things for your vehicle and
so
the
important.
Most important thing for safety on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm trying to teach here with my show, DIY Garage, and you, my special guest here today, right?
Yeah, thank you very much. Or what is the first step now that I have to do in order to replace my brakes? Do it myself because I don't want to pay for the crazy amounts of labor.
No. What, upwards of $150 for something you could do within 15 minutes for less than $40?
15 minutes?
15 minutes.
All right, tell me what.
That's if you're me, of course.
Okay.
Okay, so essentially the main thing you need to do when you are going to change out your brake pads, because that's usually the first thing that you need to look for, especially when you're hearing a sound like that, brake pads. That's the first thing you think about. Brake pads.
So if I'm pressing the brakes and then all of a sudden I hear like a because that's what I heard for the past 6 years.
Wait, no. Okay.
Yeah, but so when I hear that, what's happening to the brakes?
Okay. So each brake pad All right, there's four brake pads on the two sets in the front of your vehicle, okay?
Okay.
Each brake pad on each side has a brake wear sensor on it. Mm-hmm. And it might sound fancy, and most modern-day vehicles have like a fancy switch or a connection that would mark on your dashboard, hey, your brakes are getting low. But in this case, say I'm talking about older or maybe even 2004 down, brake pads have this brake wear sensor that's just a little piece of metal that once the lining on your brake pads gets low to a certain point, it'll start screeching. So that little piece of metal, your brake wear sensor, will start screeching against your brake rotor, making that horrible sound that you're hearing.
So they made that horrible sound on purpose just for my benefit?
It's actually better to hear that as opposed to real screeching metal to metal, because brake pads with no lining on it to the brake rotor, brake disc, is a horrible sound.
I heard it for 6 years. You have no idea how annoying it was to me.
Well, if you heard it for 6 years and you're still kind of stopping, it might actually be something else. Is that an over-exaggeration, perhaps?
No, it's pretty much just, it's over-exaggeration, but I do want to learn how to do it myself and not pay the labor.
All right, well, so basically doing it yourself, DIY Garage, is what we're here for, and that's what I'm here to talk to you about, I guess, because you brought it up, right?
I brought it up.
Okay, so answer me this. Do you have basic hand tools at your house, mechanics tool sets?
Yeah, somewhere? I definitely have that, the stuff that my dad told me to have.
Okay, good. And maybe like a jack. Jack stands to lift up your vehicle slightly.
I got that too.
Cool. And you know how to remove your wheel from your car, right? Just the wheel attire?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So first thing you need to do is secure your vehicle. Put an emergency brake on so it doesn't roll off and fall on you when it's up in the air.
Oh, right? No, we do not want that.
No, not at all.
I like to survive.
Okay, so you secure that. You might even want to put like a brake or something behind the rear wheels. Mm-hmm. Not that necessary. Emergency brake is fine.
Yeah.
Lift up the front end of your vehicle. Take off the two front wheels. Inspect everything. You know, look at your brake lines. Look at your brake caliper. Make sure nothing's leaking. If it's all dry, it's all good.
Okay.
So the first thing you need to do, you see, it's a visual inspection. You look at your disc, your brake rotor.
Mm-hmm.
It's that shiny little thing that looks like a CD.
And
large
it sort of
CD.
Sounds like you see it could clamp onto what the wheel is holding to, right?
Essentially. No, that's the brake caliper.
Oh, the brake caliper.
The brake disc is the actual thing that it's clamping onto.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The brake disc. It's a circle.
Yeah, it's a big circle, and it's kind of shiny most of the time.
Okay.
Okay, so you look at that, and you make sure it's not horrendously scratched. And it's not deep ridges. It's not the Grand Canyon in there, okay? Make sure it's just kind of even, nice and fine. And then what you do on the back of your brake caliper, which is pretty easy to see, it's going to be right there, the thing that you were talking about clamping.
Mm-hmm.
On the back of that, there's two main bolts. Those two bolts, when you remove one, most of the time, half that brake caliper comes right up.
Okay.
So it's just essentially all you've done is lift the vehicle, take the wheels off, and take one bolt off.
Just one tiny bolt. Okay.
Just one. It's like a 14 millimeter bolt. So it's a tiny little bolt. Uh-huh. You take that off, brake caliper goes up, and your brake pads are coming.
Are you telling me that the tiny little screw is holding the stopping the brake? It's stopping the whole car.
Yes.
Wow.
And I've driven without that bolt before, and it's nothing you want to drive without.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a very scary feeling when you can't stop on the freeway going 95 miles per hour. Oh, did I just say that?
I did not get a ticket. I don't know what you're insinuating, sir.
Okay, so once you take off that one bolt and you lift up the brake caliper, two brake pads are in there, and they're being retained by retaining clips, which are clips that retain the brake pad, right?
Sure.
Okay, so you take off those two brake pads, put in some new ones, and what you're going to want to do with the actual caliper, you're going to notice that there's this little round piece in there that is known as a brake caliper piston. And that right there, what it does is brake fluid is poured into the master cylinder. This might be getting a bit technical, but it's up there against the firewall under your hood. And that has brake lines. Every time you depress your brake pedal, it pushes fluid from your master cylinder down the lines into that caliper. That caliper you're looking at right now when you're doing a brake change, right?
Sure.
So what you do with that caliper, you have to take off the cap from your master cylinder. It's very easy. That's where you pour in your brake fluid.
Okay.
Take that cap off so you can depress that piston. And the way you do that is you use like a simple C-clamp or perhaps like a locking vice grip, perhaps.
Okay.
You know, the large ones. You
so we've taken the we're looking at the caliper right now, and then where the brake fluid is, brake fluid is, I have to find that one little, and I have to use a vice grip on it.
Okay, let me start from the top, okay?
Yeah, because remember, I am the layman term. Okay. I'm the layman guy. Okay.
Open up your hood.
Okay.
Okay. On the far right corner, when you're looking towards the front of your vehicle, right in front of your driver's seat, but on the inside underhood, there's this little, how can I say it? It's called a master cylinder, but it looks like a little reservoir, okay? A little casing.
Sure.
And it's a metal tube, and it has lines coming off of it, hard line. And what you do, you open that up, and that's where your brake fluid is. I'm sure you've probably seen where to pour in brake fluid.
Yeah.
Am I mistaken? No.
Yeah. It's just I only know the maintenance. Because I would rather have a doctor handle my car, a doctor like Victor over here.
Dr. Love.
Exactly. And I would not want to, because he just told me that the tiny little screw is going to stop the car. I was like, holy crap. All right. I'll let the doctor do it.
Yeah. Well, maybe one of these days I can videotape and show the rest of the masses that are listening in.
Which should definitely happen.
Okay. Hopefully so.
Tease.
Okay. So that's a master cylinder. That's where you pour in your brake fluid. There's a little cap. That cap creates vacuum every time you depress your pedal.
Okay.
So what you want to do is take that cap off. And you do that in order to get the pressure from your brake piston, the brake caliper piston, down at the caliper.
Yeah.
All that, the pressure will come out when you depress it because you don't want it all bursting. Your cap's going to explode, right?
No.
You don't want that to happen.
Absolutely not.
That's a costly problem that you can definitely steer away from.
Okay.
All right. So get back to the brake caliper. It's up in the front. You're there. You're doing your thing. Take that one bolt off. You've taken off the brake pads and you see that one brake caliper piston.
Yeah.
You depress that far enough so you could fit in the brand new brake pads because you got to compensate for the lining that's actually on those brake pads. That's what you're paying for. You're paying for stopping power, not squealing power, right?
No.
Not at all.
I don't want a baby on all four wheels. No.
Okay, excellent. So what you do, you put those in and you put the caliper back in its original spot and make sure it fits. You don't want to force it down there. You want to depress that piston just far in enough so you can get it and snug it right back down.
Sure.
If you've gone that far, put that one bolt back on, put that cap on, and you're done with one side.
One side.
That's one side. The other side is the same exact thing. If you can do it on both ends, you're done with your front end brake job. That's $80 you've just done by yourself.
$80.
DIY, doing it yourself.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of cigarettes I could buy.
I guess so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pierce College is a smoke-free campus. Just letting you know.
Uh-huh.
All right. So you told me you're kind of telling me that the front end is exactly the same. What about the back end? Is that the same too?
It could be different. You specified you drive an SUV.
I drive my beautiful Cindy.
Oh,
her name is Cindy. I named her because you know if you name your stuff, you're going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a 4Runner 1996.
96? 4Runner. Mm-hmm. Let me think about that. They had the option of all-wheel.
That's the reason why we hired this guy. Let me think about that. This spec, and this spec.
Let me see. 3.0 liter V6 rear-wheel drive, if I'm not mistaken.
How did you know that?
Six lug, no problem at all. Okay.
That's amazing.
Stock 16-inch wheels, color black.
No, Karma.
Oh, Karma. Sorry.
But everything else was spot on.
Yes.
That's exactly how my mechanic told me.
Okay. All right. So what happens is, these vehicles in 96, like you said,
mm-hmm.
They were offered with all-wheel disc or perhaps disc in the front and drums in the back. And I haven't even scratched the surface with drum brakes. That's something else. That's something that was out since like the 40s or before then, actually. You know, actually, let me see. Model A had it. Model T had it. So 1909, they had drum brakes.
I'm going to check if my car has a drum brake and okay. taking it out.
In the rear. You don't want to take out your drum brake unless you like not stop.
It's that old, though.
That's okay. No worries. Okay. It's, you know, modernism of drum brakes is great.
All right.
My vehicle's a 2004 and it still has drum brakes in the back.
Okay.
Very reliable for trucks.
I just poked the bear. Yeah, don't talk about my car.
Okay, well, like you said, you asked if the front end is the exact same as the back.
Okay.
In this case, if your rear has discs, just about the same thing. And I say just about because it's not certain. Say I was working on a 97 Ford Mustang, mm-hmm. that its only means of emergency brake was that same caliper.
Okay.
When I'm used to disc all around, on the rear of a vehicle, there's a disc, and then there's a little drum inside, because drum is way more reliable for an emergency brake.
Oh, okay, if
you,
then.
If you think about it, emergency brake is usually used for parking on a hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Think of a caliper and a piston just squeezing on a disc while you're on a hill. It's going to want to move, right? Your vehicle's going to want to move.
Yeah.
So in this case, they put a little drum in there, because when a drum's moving, it ain't going to happen. Okay. There's so much more pressure with the
drum. It just stops everything.
Completely.
All right, I'll keep the drum brakes. My bad.
Drum brakes are cool, and that's a whole different thing. I guess we'll talk about it another time.
Because yeah, sure. I'm sure Cindy is pretty old. I'm not going to lie. She's beautiful, but she's old.
Yeah. There's actually a ratio for drum brakes that you need to change. Actually, for the rear, you don't need to worry about it as much as in the front.
Okay.
There's a 2-to-1 or at times 3-to-1 for brake changing. So brake pads in the front, especially like on front-wheel drive vehicles like a Honda or something, mm-hmm. 3-to-1 is the ratio. So the third time you're changing your front disc brake pads,
okay.
then you want to go to the back.
Sure.
You know, because those just get wasted less. And why? Because all the weight's in the front of your vehicle. So all the stopping power's in the front of your vehicle. Back right. in the day, it was 60-40. You know, the weight distribution. Now it's like 75.
We need more horsepower.
We need more horsepower in rear-wheel drive. Thank you. But anyway. Oh, thank you. But essentially, you know, doing your own brakes is very easy to do. It's very easy to accomplish. You can literally Google it or YouTube it and even find vehicle-specific explanations as to how to do it.
All right, perfect. But all right, how about this? I'm really, really trying to save money because I am a poor college student. Mm-hmm. And how do I keep my brakes as long as I could?
It's automatic, I assume.
It's automatic.
Okay, so if it was stick shift, you can just downshift all the time. You know what I'm talking about? You just really
don't. All right, so if I had a stick shift, what would I do?
I mean, you're driving stick, right? Mm-hmm. You're growing a little fast. Say you're in third gear, go down to second, go down to first. And you could literally stop by doing that. Most of the time, a lot of people do it.
Doesn't that hurt the transmission, though, downshifting? And
it might, but you're saying you want to save on brakes. We're not talking about clutch sets on this episode today. We're not talking about
clutches. Which is more expensive, brakes or transmissions? Whoa.
Transmissions. Everybody. Okay. That's something else. All right, so you're an automatic Toyota 4Runner.
Yes.
Okay. Let me see here. Just try not to drive... like, how can I say this without being rude? Don't be those people that tailgate all the time. Don't tailgate. That's like the worst thing for brakes because you know you stop short.
Yeah.
Don't stop short is what I'm trying to get at.
Don't stop short. But just, tailgating is so good for my frustrations.
No, you don't want to do it.
There's Priuses out there with preaching stuff on their bumper stickers.
You know what you do to get away from that? You just kind of drive right around them real quickly.
Come on, let me be angry for a little bit. I'm American.
Don't be angry. The best thing in life is being happy and treating your vehicle right.
Yeah, I bet if you drive happy, if you are happy, you'll take care of your car as well.
Yes, that's why today's show is called The Greatness of Being Happy. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. No, we're talking about brakes. Get back to it.
All right, we're talking about brakes. What else can you tell me about brakes?
Brakes. Let me see here. Different noises can happen when brakes are going bad, going shot. You've already mentioned squealing. Mm-hmm. There's also thudding. You can hear a thud sound.
What does that mean?
What happens is your brake calipers, sometimes they go out of round. They get a little mixed up. They get a little stuck.
Okay.
And this happens due to, you know, general age, but also corrosion. There's these little slide pins.
Oh, corrosion. That's scary. What should I do about corrosion?
Best thing you can do about corrosion, especially in these situations, is sand it. Like, get some sandpaper. This is what I'm trying to get at. Brake calipers have these pins that are utilized in order for the brake caliper to move when you're stopping.
Mm-hmm.
If those are seized up, you're going to stop short and you're going to just hit something, you know?
No.
Because it's just going to lock up a wheel. You don't want to do that. You want to refrain from doing that, right?
Yes. Yes.
You have to think about that.
I'm like, lock up a wheel, but locking is also good. No, wait, no, that would be bad because you'd slide.
That's why we have ABS, which is known as anti-locking brake system.
Nice.
That's why, because we don't want locking brakes, especially not in the rain. You'd be sliding all over the place.
Well, if you're Paul Walker in Too Fast, Too Furious. Okay, sorry. He's giving me the desk there.
That was dead air, by the way. And that was, I needed to do it in order to prove a point. No, sir. We're not talking about that.
I am a real driver. There's no such thing as movies.
Paul Walker. All right. Okay. That's what you want to do. You want to keep those little guide bolts lubricated so your pistons can move perfectly fine and your caliper's moving. So corrosion, that happens over time. Dirt and dust get in there. There's little dust boots made out of rubber to keep all that grime out of there.
Okay.
Keep that lubricated. Keep that thing moving. Everything functioning well, you're
sure.
Stopping fine. Okay. Let me get to a different subject. Oh, it's going to be the same subject, sub-subject. Let's do that.
Sure.
Right? So purchasing brake pads. What do you do when you go? Okay. Let me see. You take your vehicle to, I don't know, Pep Boys for service. Okay. You go in there, you say, hey, I want brake pads and give me some pretty good ones. They're going to install it for you. Okay. But do you really know what they're selling you? Do they mention it? Have you ever done anything like that?
I just assume it's like surgery. I just trust the doctor.
You trust the doctor then, huh?
No, not after I got, you know, the reason why this show exists is because I'm sure everybody has seen the receipt after the labor costs.
Mm.
So I'm listening to this show because I need to know how to do all this stuff.
You have to.
Yeah.
Especially in today's economy. Everybody says it, but it's completely true. I'm broke. I have like $3 in my pocket.
Yeah.
Sorry, ladies. But you know what I'm talking about.
But he's an awesome truck.
Okay. Well, we need to really do things for ourselves. DIY, do it mm-hmm. yourself, do it yourself garage here at kpcradio.com.
Absolutely.
Right. So essentially, okay, you go into AutoZone, common auto parts sales representative or whatever, retailer. You go in there and you say, hey, I have a 96 Toyota 4Runner V6 rear wheel drive, not 4x4. And they're like, oh, okay, what are you looking for? How can I help you with that? Well, I'm looking for front brake pads. They'll be like, okay, well, tell me your driving condition. That's what they'll ask you. If do you do a lot of towing? Do you do a lot of tailgating, perhaps? I mean, I think you kind of mentioned that already. But
I'm a bit of an aggressive driver, yes.
So driving aggressively also entails stopping aggressively. Am I mistaken?
Yes.
I am mistaken.
You're not mistaken.
Okay, let me leave the room then.
You're not mistaken.
Okay, so what I'm getting at is different qualities of brake pads, different materials used in brake pads. You can't just buy the cheapo little $15 brake pads.
You would not want to skimp out on brakes.
No, sir. No, not especially with 14 kids in the back, because I have 14 kids. You know?
Sorry, ladies, once again.
Sorry, ladies. What I'm getting at is, don't, like you said, don't skimp out. Get some pretty good stuff. I'm not going to lie. I bought $22 brake pads. So it's kind of low, but they're backed by a lifetime warranty, and I change them more regularly than, you know.
Oh, that's a deal right there. Lifetime warranty. Look for that.
Yeah, look for that. I'm not going to say where and who has it. I'm not going to name drop, but you can look for that.
Exactly, because that would be illegal.
Yeah, that would be illegal.
Coming from the communications director at kpcradio.com.
Okay. Okay, so you get your brake pads. Scratch that. You go back. You're walking into the auto parts store. You say,
sure.
I want brake pads this vehicle. And they'll say, oh, okay, so you drive aggressively. You like driving fast. You like stopping fast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. I have ceramic brake pads for you. They're mid-quality, pretty good stuff. And you say, pretty good. I want the best. Fine. You get some premium ceramics. Why ceramics and what are ceramics?
What are ceramics?
Different material. So the lining on a brake pad made of ceramic material as opposed to a semi-metallic material. Semi-metallic's been used since... Booyah, since before our grandparents were born.
Yeah, I actually have some knowledge about this. Archimedes, one of the people, they're the ones that created like hydraulics, and he's the one that created how to make a brake, right? Oh, I don't know.
No.
I need to stop watching Discovery Channel. It's addicting.
Keep watching Discovery Channel. Keep watching Discovery Channel because they play Top Gear and they say nothing about cars.
Exactly.
Everything about cars.
Everything about cars.
Excuse me. Yeah, sure. Yes, Archimedes.
Ceramics. All right. Well,
he made ceramic brake pads for a Ferrari, Archimedes.
Yeah, sure.
No? Okay.
Which ones is it better, ceramic or metallic?
Ceramic.
Why?
Semi-metallic? Okay. Semi-metallics is what I have and what most manufacturers put into their vehicle from factory.
Sure.
But that's the bare minimum for what you can go for brake pads. You know, semi-metallics are good. The only thing about them is they're noisy. And they create a lot of brake dust, so that's horrible for the environment and pollution. People don't like that. Do you like pollution here in our environment?
No.
Never.
That's bad.
So we want limited brake dust, limited noise pollution as well, and better stopping power. Because semi-metallic will only go so far. you know, you'll actually go really far stopping with cement batons.
You're right.
The complete opposite of what you're trying to do with brakes, right?
Yeah, but see here with ceramics, though, I'm thinking ceramics is breakable. Metallics, you could bend metal, right? Because with ceramics, you know, you take ceramics class, it's a clay pot.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be malleable. It's not supposed to be the toughest thing in the world because you're going against two surfaces. It's not going to be titanium versus titanium. You'll probably never do anything. But in this case, the actual metal used for a brake rotor is not the strongest thing in the world either. That's why they have to be resurfaced every like two or three brake.
That is right there. Right there is the reason why he has a show.
Resurfacing brake rotors?
He knows exactly what he's talking about.
There's actually a class here on campus that'll teach you how to do that.
What is a class?
That is brake suspensions and alignments. That's AST2, Automotive Surface Technology 2. If you're interested, listeners.
At Pierce College, offered at Pierce College. The great college of Pierce College, yeah.
Pierce College. Register now. So, basically, you're talking about the malleability of metallics and ceramics. And mm-hmm. Why would you want to use ceramics in this case? You know,
because I feel like it would break. That's,
yeah,
that's my thing.
Toilets break, I guess, right? Yeah. They're made of a ceramic material compound, right?
Exactly.
Ceramic, porcelain, same thing. Yeah, okay. That's the whole thing. You want them to be a bit softer. The softer the two surfaces, the better your brake. It might sound crazy, but think about this. You're driving a really heavy truck on just laid out asphalt. Are you going to drive very fast?
No.
No, you're going to be sinking into the asphalt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Essentially the same idea with a brake rotor that's made of a certain kind of steel or alloy. They actually make like carbon fiber rotors nowadays, but that's ridiculous.
That's breaking. I know that breaks. That's breaks into little bits.
Yeah, exactly. Carbon fiber brake rotors are like $1,000 a piece and they only last you one race. But that's okay. That's if you're a professional race car driver.
And you want to be light.
Yes, you want to be light. But here at DIY Garage, I know most of our listeners are not professional race car drivers. And that's okay. We're not talking about carbon fiber rotors. We're talking about normal everyday rotors.
Normal everyday.
Okay, so made out of a special metallic compound or just normal stainless steel, whatever.
Okay.
The ceramics is a soft material. You get soft against kind of soft because stainless steel, I mean, just steel in general, isn't the hardest thing in the world. It can be melted, just like you said.
Yeah.
There's an overabundance of heat when you're stopping.
Yeah.
So those two things soften up and you're slowing down quieter.
Oh.
If you use semi-metallics, that's metal against metal. Really hot, really loud.
It gets really hot and then starts melting and you don't want them. All right, I see.
You know what I'm talking about? That makes sense, right?
I get it now. All right. I'm not going to question the doctor never, ever again.
Oh, I'm the doctor.
you're the mechanic doctor.
That's what
I'm going to call you from now on.
So we're talking about grades of brake pads and how you should consider ceramics because it's a softer, more malleable material.
Mm-hmm.
It'll stop better. It'll be quieter, less brake dust. And, you know, it's like $10 difference. Why skimp on that?
I wouldn't want to skip on brakes, no.
Excellent. And I guess it's getting back to my next point, brake rotors, disc brake rotors, however you want to call them, brake discs, whatever.
Okay.
There are like four or five different kinds. I'll only go over about three or four today, okay?
Sure.
So there's solid brake rotors. Those are just solid, very heavy, pretty heavy duty. The only problem with them is that they're not vented. They have no cooling system besides the air when you're driving. Most vehicles nowadays have vented rotors on them. And those, what does that sound like? Vented, ventilation.
Yeah, it would. So what? It would stop it from melting a little bit, or
well, I guess they don't really melt, but it'll cool it down from getting warped. You know, metal warps, right? With
heat,
that's what happens with brake rotors that are solid.
Okay.
They warp, and once a rotor warps, your stopping power is going to be jeopardized completely. It's going to be pulsating the whole vehicle, and you don't want movement of the suspension when you're stopping, right?
Okay, yeah, you're completely right.
Make it sound right, though, right?
Dude, I get it. It's just I'm still trying to wrap my head around, like, trying to visualize it in my head, like, why does it need to be vented? What are the other ones that you have?
I have drilled and slotted, and these things are for ultimate heat dissipation.
Okay.
Right?
This is for the racers, I guess.
Essentially, you see them on a lot of brand-new Subarus or Corvettes and things like that, but you could put them on a truck as well, and you have a truck. If you're doing a lot of towing, a lot of hauling, you're a very heavy vehicle going down the road. You want to stop and you want to bring that heat away from you. You want to stop the best you can.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right,
you must keep the heat away.
Yeah, drop in some dough and get it on a slotted or drilled rotors, right?
I agree.
Yeah, okay.
I learned a lot today. Thank you very much. What's the name of the show again, dude?
The show is DIY Garage, Do-It-Yourself Garage. I'm your host, Victor Chavez. This is my guest, Eric. Eric, go ahead and say your last name.
Yeah, have a great day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. I learned a lot about my brakes, and now I'm not going to spend a lot of money.